We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and I'm here with Trent, and we are excited to come to you today, and we're excited that here in the month of October, we are doing a giveaway. We're giving away a book called One Size Doesn't Fit All by Gary McIntosh, and a fantastic book to help you out in ministry and really deal with the uniqueness of your situation. And here's how you can get that book. If you would either email Alan at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting, or catch us both. Tell us about you and your church. We would love to enter you into that drawing. Or you can also reach out to us on our Facebook page at Enduring Churches and message us through that. But we would love to enter you on for that giveaway. So I'm looking forward to that, Trent. So Trent, tell us how excited you are about that giveaway, and then tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, we want to be a help to our folks, our friends that listen to us, and we're trying to find as many ways as we possibly can, not only doing the podcast, but things like this book, I think, is a great help. It was given to me by a friend and suggested as a good tool to use, and so we want to pass that on to someone else as well. And today we're going to be talking about our relationships and specifically our marriage relationships in ministry and how important that is to be strong and growing, to be able to do ministry, Alan. And I know that you are blessed with an incredible wife, Miss Rochelle. She is tremendous. And so I know that that's an important part of your life too.
Yeah, yesterday, in fact, as we record this, yesterday was her birthday, and so we went out and were able to celebrate her birthday. And you know, it's important in ministry to have your helpmate and to be your friend. And I am so blessed that I have my wife's friendship, just as you are blessed with Dana in your life.
Yeah, and so those relationships, you know, our wives are tremendous helpmates, and sometimes we get to be their helpmates, you know, because they're ministers just as much as we are. And so today we're going to talk through this and kind of give you some tips and think about why this is so important. But I had a pastor mention this to me, this phrase. He said, we need to stay sane, centered, and married to be able to have a strong ministry. And I want you to think of your family as your A-team. You remember that show, Alan, don't you? That's right. B.A. Baracus. Yeah, I wish. Right. But I remember sitting in your dorm room at the seminary watching that and what's the one where they're in the prison camp?
Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, great shows.
Yeah, we had some great time skipping chapel together back then.
That's right. Don't tell anybody, it's our secret. You know, think of your family as your A team and talk with them, you know, keep them a part of your thought life and your ministry, and don't ever put your leaders or your church leaders or your church itself in front of the A team. So what do you think about that, Alan?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly times where your family has got to understand the role of what you do, but they've got to know that they come first in your life. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, and that's important. You can't, you know, you cannot continue to put other things above them. I still am just moved. Years and years ago, I was a young pastor and I was at a conference, and a pastor from Houston had recently hosted a meal for people who had felt ostracized or had given up on church for some reason. And he was amazed at how many pastor's kids were in that audience. And one young person got up and cried and said, the reason I quit church is because my dad made everyone else's basketball games, but he never came to mine. And
wow,
man, that just slapped me in the face. And, you know, I didn't even have kids at that time yet, but I tried to never forget that, you know, and that's just true. Yeah, your family needs to know how valuable they are to you.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I want you to keep that phrase, stay sane, centered, and married. You know, and so we think about, why is your marriage so important? Alan, you and Rochelle have been married for how long now? I'm putting you on the spot, bud.
Yeah, well, we just crossed 28 this summer. So 28 years. You got me by a couple, though, don't you?
Yeah, we have been married 31. And so, yeah, but, you know, that marriage, that relationship is so important. And you're a team. You're helpmates. I mentioned that before, but you're helpmates for each other in this. And so, Alan, is Rochelle involved in the ministry of your church?
Oh, she does so many different things in ministry. And we're going to kind of talk about this a little bit. But, you know, Rochelle has a calling, and she has a calling that goes alongside my calling. And we'll talk about the impact of that. But to recognize that she has as many opportunities really to serve as I do is really important, and to keep our eyes open for that, because we are a team and we're both called, right?
Absolutely. We need to both be have each other as an anchor. But God has placed both Dana and I in ministry at our church. And, you know, Dana gets the opportunity to minister in her job setting at the school as well. So, you know, your marriage, you are a team serving the Lord. And you need to keep that in mind. You don't take each other for granted. And you do need to have be there for each other.
Well, and one of the beautiful parts about marriage for those who are married out there is that really, in many cases, your spouse has the strengths that you don't have, mm-hmm. and that's a great thing for ministry, because they can oftentimes help you where you're weak, and it can also see areas in which you're weak and help you protect yourself in those.
That's true, Alan. And, you know, as we think about, we've been talking about how important our marriage is, but sometimes ministry, you know, we each have those gifts and talents that the other may not have, and we are helpmates to each other. Sometimes ministry, though, can be hard on marriages, honestly. I mean, and you need to, if you're just starting out in ministry, you need to go into ministry eyes wide open, knowing that your ministry place can be hard on your marriage sometimes.
You know, I think, Trent, when you think about our time in seminary and everything, one of the things that you find out very early has to do with calling in ministry and marriage. And I think that the first part that happens really is between just the couple themselves. This is before you ever get into a church, before you ever start serving. And that's that stress over, I feel called, but does my spouse feel called? Is it a situation where we both feel called? You know, in a lot of cases, you know, like in your case, Dana felt your call before you felt your call. Yeah. But in my case, I felt my call before my wife felt my call. And how important is it for us to get to the place where we both have that sense of call? In both cases, it took some time. It wasn't immediate, was it?
Absolutely not. And so, yeah, one of the worst things that, you know, couples can struggle through is when one spouse feels called into ministry and the other doesn't. And, you know, and that it's so hard because, you know, you don't want one spouse feeling like the other one is holding them back. The other one is like, hey, don't get me into something that I'm not feeling equipped to handle, because it's a big deal. And so having a time and waiting on each other to both get that calling from God is important.
It is. And then what happens if that never really comes? Are there other ways to serve in ministry and answer God's call without being a full-time ministry leader? I believe there is. You know, when you are married, you're not just answering for just yourself. Mm-hmm. You are answering for the family. And so you got to make sure that you deal with the stress. And really, you need to do this before you ever accept a ministry position. And then there's that also that question, though, Trent, and it puts a lot of stress on marriages. And I have seen that. And that's when a church expects, especially in the case of a pastor, but it can be any staff member, but that they treat the spouse like they're a volunteer staff member, and they don't get to work where they feel called.
Right. Yeah. The expectation that your wife is going to be automatically the head of women's ministry. Dana struggled with that because that's not her calling. She doesn't want to be in charge of women's ministry. She is a gifted teacher and works better with kids than she does being the lady who plans all the women's ministry things. So Alan, has Rochelle ever had that experience?
Well, you know, we were asked one time, well, does she play the piano? You know, and yeah. Fortunately, Rochelle never took up playing the piano. But, you know, I try to communicate right up front. Well, she doesn't. But if she did, you know, my expectations for my wife are for her to do what she feels God's calling her to do in the church. And that's important, you know, because she needs to do what she feels called to do. And there are times she does things out of a sense of obligation. And I know that. But my wife's filled so many different roles in our church. She has taught. She's been part of the worship team. She's organized. She's been a part of our women's ministry. She does whatever needs to be done for the good of God's kingdom and for the good of our church. And you know, she does a lot of things that she doesn't like to do with a whole lot better attitude than I do when I don't want to do something. So, you know, I'm so appreciative of her. But, you know, one of the things I would encourage pastors, especially young pastors, when you are talking with the church, you know, support your spouse up front. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have to come back and say more later, but set a really clear guideline. I think that's getting better in a lot of cases because, you know, 40 years ago in ministry, most pastors' wives and staff members' wives weren't working in the marketplace, and that's changed. And I think because of the time constraints and everything that has changed. And I also think too that we see more women in leadership in our churches, and I think they're a little more sensitive to that as well. And so I think that there's some things that have helped change that a little bit, but. Even having said all that, there are still some unwritten expectations that go along with being married in the ministry, right, Trent?
That's true. And you know, you said a while ago that we should, you know, be that protector, that say some things to protect your spouse right up front as you're interviewing with the church. And I would definitely agree with that. And so, you know, If a church is going to expect your wife to be there and do all these things, then they ought to expect to have to pay her. And so, you know, you can say those things and say them in a gracious way, but understand and help them to understand that your wife, especially if she's working outside of the home, that she's got a lot on her plate anyway, and your wife needs to hear you stick up for her as well.
Well, and I think too, even some of the unwritten expectations that, you know, a spouse has got to show up to more things than the average church member, just by the nature of being together, right? You know, there are certain things that they have to end up being a part of that maybe other people in the church get to say, oh, I just don't want to do that or this or that. And because, you know, your spouse has put that and organized that together, there's a sense of obligation to go, and those things can be just time consuming, and they take away from some other things in your life. But those things are there, and you have to be willing to kind of understand the unwritten expectations and kind of have a sense of what you guys expect together to kind of clear those up.
One of the other things that we wrote down, Alan, is conflict issues in church. Sometimes our spouse gets to be either the center or has to endure going through seeing conflict that we're dealing with. And so that can impact our marriages for the worst as well, Alan, can it?
Yeah, one of the worst things that I think, and probably the number one reason that I think stress is really put at a high level in ministry marriages is when the conflict arises. And what happens oftentimes, and I think this is just honestly a coward's way of dealing with conflict, but instead of coming directly to the pastor or the staff member, they'll go to that person's spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's pathetic. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. That is people behaving at the lowest form of behavior. If you got a problem with someone and you can't talk to them face to face, then you really don't have a problem. The problem's inside you. But oftentimes that's just how it goes.
Yeah. And unfortunately our spouses can take the brunt of that. And then they're trying to balance, okay, I'm supposed to be the protector of my spouse, but I'm also being the confidant for this other person, you know? And so that's so hard. You feel like you're between a rock and a hard place for sure.
Yeah. But then when they watch you go through those seasons where you just feels like everyone is coming against you, you share that. And we all respond different ways when we're under conflict. And so, you know, some of us shut down emotionally at home because of what's going on at work. And that's not healthy on our marriages. And so if you're in that situation, I would encourage you, reach out, you know, whether you reach out to us or you reach out to a counselor, but get some help to unload the burden that you're bearing, because conflict in the heat of conflict is certainly a challenge that we've all experienced. And, you know, our marriages, each of our marriages at times have suffered because of some of the conflict that we've gone through.
We understand what you're dealing with. We are big proponents of getting counseling or having someone to walk beside you. And you know, Satan is going to tell you that you're the only one. And that is such a lie, because there are so many people that have been through what you're going through. And we want to walk with you through this time of restoration. And so part of that restoration is how to keep your marriage strong in the stress of ministry. Every marriage is going to face stress in their church ministry position. And so how in the world do we keep it strong so we can stay sane, centered, and married?
Yeah. So Trent, you know, you and I are big proponents of this. You got to keep dating.
You've got to keep spending time with your spouse. That's not what Dana and I have this joke. If we were going to Walmart to pick up stuff for the church, it's a date. If we're going to the hospital to see somebody, it's a date, which is, we all know it's not. And we laugh about this. But there was a time in our lives where it seemed like that was our only dates, right?
Right, right.
We try to be more intentional about actually having fun and dating.
Yeah, I mean, for us, the other day we had a mailbox date. We had to walk across the street and get the mail, so we had a date. Woo-hoo! In the middle of the day. Rochelle was home working, I was home working, and so we had a mid-morning date there. So that it's not, you got to find little times to steal away. Sometimes that's harder. You know, again, Trent and I are in a phase of life now where we can date our spouses a little bit more than we used to be able to. But here's the thing I would encourage you to do is don't stop asking for the date. You know, there's something very romantic and something that's fun and exciting about from time to time, asking your spouse out. You know, just don't assume it, but do something nice to do that.
Yeah. And surprise them, you know, that's a wonderful thing. Alan, I got to tell you that Dana was talking to me the other day, and she had been listening to a podcast of someone else's. And she was like, we got to work on dating some more. And so we have put two for Tuesdays on our calendars now. And so Tuesdays are important, and it's for the two of us. So it's two for Tuesdays.
Very nice. And so you got to protect that time then.
Yeah.
So you're going to kind of buffer that.
Yeah. We both have calendars that are pretty full. And so if we don't put that on the calendar, then it'll get filled up with other people's stuff. And so we got to put our stuff on there too.
You know, back in the day, there was this time before this thing called COVID. they used to have these things called movie theaters, and they used to have cheaper movie tickets on Tuesday nights. But I'm not sure we're going to see movie theaters in the future world. We'll have to see. But yeah, you want to certainly protect your couple time, and we mentioned this earlier, but also support your mate's giftedness. They are gifted in areas that you're not, and let them thrive in ministry and support them in ministry.
And so ask them, hey, you know, ask your wife, your spouse, what is it that you really love to do in church? Instead of, hey, I need you to go cover the nursery, which, whew, Lord help you. But, you know, but ask them, hey, what is it that you feel that God has gifted you to do and brings you joy in ministry? Because I'm telling you now, you want your spouse and your kids to be excited about being in church, not dreading, not feeling like they've been voluntold to do ministry. So yeah, support their giftedness.
You know, it's interesting. Our children's minister, you know, she got plugged in and does everything that we need her to do. And one day her husband looked at her and said, you know, I think God might be calling me to teach the youth. Well, great. You know, he now teaches our youth, and it's important to support them in their roles as well. And that's just what we need to do. And I hope you do that not only with your spouse, but with your kids and with your church as well. Support their giftedness. Let people shine at what they're good at. It does not take away from you to let other people do well with what they do well at. And so make sure you let them do that. Trent, we have a fourth thing here. Do some fun things together. And those things just aren't date stuff, right? But those, just find something that's just fun.
Yeah. Alan, I know that you and Rochelle like to go up in the mountains and go and fishing and stuff. And, you know, those are fun things to do. And sometimes it's a fun thing even at church, or, you know, going to a movie theater. And I was laughing as you were saying that, there was a major movie theater in Oklahoma City that just closed permanently. And so anyway, that may not be in the cards for you to go watch movies anymore, but you can do some fun things. Be creative, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to be creative either. One time, this is a thing that actually I dated before Dana and I got married, but we did a picnic in the middle of the night on a golf course on one of the greens. And, you know, it didn't cost much to do that. And so it's fun stuff to do. You know, there's all kinds of books about cheap dates. So look up some fun things you can do.
Yeah. And don't forget to laugh. You just got to find some things to laugh about every now and then, because life is hard enough, and you're going to have some hard times and hard experiences in ministry. So the more laughter you can incorporate into your life and in your marriage, the better off you're going to be.
That's right. We want you to be glued together. And that's why I've said it several times today as you've been listening, hopefully, that we want you to stay sane. Don't lose your mind. We want you to be centered. We want you to be centered in Christ, and we want you to stay married. And so your family, remember your family's your A-team. Talk with them a lot. Encourage them in their faith and to do the things that they're gifted at. We want you to have a great family. We want you to have a great church and a great ministry. So, Alan, anything else that we need to say before we close for today?
Well, Trent, I'm trying to look at our calendar, and I believe this is the last day, the last week for you to enter for our drawing. And so we want you to make sure that you enter for our drawing. Again, email Alan@enduringchurches.consulting, Trent@enduringchurches.consulting, or contact us through our Facebook page or website. But we would love to enter you into the drawing for One Size Doesn't Fit All by Gary McIntosh. And again, if our ministry in any way is helping you, and would you just do us the honor of sharing that through your social media formats and let other people know about the Enduring Churches podcast. We thank you so much for taking time to join us. Make sure you keep your home fire burning. And we'll talk to you next week.